This week it's Chris McCann's turn to join me in the studio. How are you doing, Chris?
Yeah, I'm good, Howard. Yourself?
Yeah, keeping busy, but I guess that's the time of the year when I'm a little bit busy.
Silly season.
Yes, you could call it that. Although we used to say August was a silly season, but there we go. Depends where you come from, I guess.
Well, yeah, everybody kind of, in my field, everybody kind of wants to get everything done by the end of the year, so I kind of get lots of requests two or three weeks before. Yeah. And the problem is that our industry kind of tends to close down 2 weeks into December.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, well. Well, we'll bear that in mind because we will be taking a break over the season, as I'll tell people later. Anyway, he's going to summarise today how capital gains tax works in Spain. He'll look at the tax implications of selling both property and investments, like shares. So, Chris, Spain, like most countries, imposes tax on gains made for the sale of assets, like real estate and capital investments. But is it actually called capital gains tax in Spain?
Well, it isn't specifically referred to as capital gains tax in the same way as it might be labelled in other countries such as the UK. Instead, it's commonly known as impuesto sobre las ganancias patrimoniales, which translates to tax on patrimonial gains. Residents of Spain are liable for income tax on their worldwide income and gains at progressive scale rates after any allowances or deductions. Income is split into general income and savings income. General income includes income such as rental income and all earned income, including employment, self-employment and pension income, whereas savings income covers all investment income and capital gains.
So what sort of tax rates are imposed on savings income?
This is fairly straightforward for 2023. Regardless of which region in Spain you live in, savings tax rates apply progressively, ranging from 19% to 28%.
Let's continue by looking at investments. What type of investments fall into this savings income category? And what happens if you've made a loss instead of a gain?
Well, as regards to income, interest from bank accounts and bonds, dividends from shares, income from life assurance contracts and purchased annuities are all covered by savings income and are taxed accordingly. As regards capital gains from investments, any profits made from selling assets such as shares, bonds, and real estate will also be covered by savings income. In relation to capital losses, if you have incurred losses from selling investments or assets for a lower price than the original purchase price, you may be able to offset these losses against future capital gains for up to 4 years.
What advice do you have for listeners who'd like to improve how their investment gains and incomes are taxed?
Look, I always mention to people that I meet that whilst Spain is a relatively high tax country, it's one of the most attractive countries regarding investments and tax planning. What I mean by this is that in Spain, there are numerous ways to structure your investments to significantly reduce your overall Spanish tax liability, including reducing your liabilities to income tax and capital gains tax. It's no secret that the balance sheets of most Western economies have deteriorated significantly over recent years because of the financial crisis of 2007. And more recently, the impact of the pandemic. Together with the continuing need for governments to cover unfunded liabilities, such as pensions and healthcare, it's no surprise that taxes are rising and governments are becoming more focused on the collection of taxes. That said, governments still need to tread a fine line, and they still need to incentivize people to save because savings fund investment and economic growth. In the UK, They do this via vehicles such as ISAs, national savings and investment bonds. In Spain, they do this by offering tax breaks to investors in similar tax-approved investment structures. Unfortunately, I think it's fair to say that despite the availability of these very tax-efficient investment structures in Spain, my experience is that too many people living in Spain are not taking advantage of these types of structures and unknowingly are paying more tax than they should. All I would say to listeners is that if these tax-efficient ways to hold your investments exist, shouldn't you be at least finding out how you might be benefiting from them?
Moving on to property now. You gave us the tax rates earlier on, but do these apply to all property, or is there exemption or reduction for your actual home?
Well, as regards Spanish real estate transactions, the calculation of capital gains follows a simple structure. The disposal price is based on the actual selling price, which must not fall below the prevailing market value, and is adjusted by subtracting any associated disposal expenses, notably the plusvalía municipal tax. The acquisition price is the genuine cost of acquiring the property, taking into account any expenses incurred during the acquisition process, including notary fees, land registry fees, solicitor's fees, and any taxes paid. In addition, you can factor the cost of any improvements into the equation. Any gains are then liable to tax based on the standard savings tax rates, as previously mentioned, ranging from 19% to 28%. As regards any property that served as your primary residence for a duration exceeding 3 years, certain exemptions may apply on selling. Firstly, regardless of your age, provided that the proceeds are reinvested into another property based in Spain or into a property based in the European Union or European Economic Area, within a period of 2 years, starting from the date of the sale, you may be entitled to rollover relief, meaning that the standard capital gains tax liability will not apply. Please note, though, that the new property that you're buying must become your main home, meaning that you are required to live in it for a continuous period of at least 3 years from the date of purchase. As the UK is no longer part of the European Union, it's worth noting that this relief will not be available to proceeds that are rolled over into the purchase of a UK property.
What if you wait till you are settled in Spain before selling your UK home? Would you pay tax in Spain? And what about the UK?
If the property qualifies as your main home, it does not need to be in Spain to qualify for the relief. So if you were to move to Spain and sell your previous main home in the UK, you may be able to avoid Spanish capital gains tax under these provisions. It's important to ensure you are selling your previous UK home while you are already Spanish tax resident. And for the relief to apply, you would need to purchase your Spanish main home either within 2 years preceding the date of sale of the property in the UK or within 2 years following the sale of the UK property. In addition, the purchase price of the Spanish property should be at least the sale proceeds of your UK property, net of any outstanding mortgage, for the full relief to apply. If the Spanish property costs less than the amount you received from the sale of your UK property, you will be liable to capital gains tax in Spain on the proportion of the gain equivalent to the sale proceeds that are not reinvested. So in summary, for someone who was living in the UK, once they become Spanish tax resident, they may sell the former main home and reinvest the proceeds in a new one in Spain and avoid Spanish capital gains tax. As far as the UK is concerned, for the period that the property qualifies as your principal private residence under UK rules, no UK capital gains tax should apply.
Are there any other capital gains tax exemptions for property?
There are. In addition, for those Spanish resident listeners who are over 65 years of age, you will potentially be exempt from capital gains tax on any profit generated by the sale of a property that qualifies as your main residence, even if you choose not to reinvest the proceeds. Again, the property will qualify as the main home if it is the main home at the date of sale or has been the main home up to anything during the 2 years prior to the date of sale. So there is a 2 year window effectively in which to sell the property after the individual has moved out. However, be aware that this relief is not available for non-Spanish residents who are selling a property in Spain that used to be their main home when they were living in Spain.
Do you have any tax advice for any listeners who may be about to buy or sell a property, whether here or in the UK?
Look, as regards purchasing a property, I'd just like to bring one other issue to listeners' attention. It used to be fairly common for people to own Spanish real estate through onshore or offshore company structures, particularly properties valued over €1 million. While there may have been different reasons for choosing this ownership type, many people were aiming to avoid taxation, particularly Spanish wealth tax and or succession and gift tax. But we're living in a very different world now. And over the last decade, governments the world over, including Spain, have successfully been implementing methods to crack down on tax fraud, to prevent future tax evasion and uncover past transgressions. They've now also set their sights on aggressive tax planning structures. Recent tax control plans in Spain have included specific focus on international investors using opaque structures, and the Spanish tax authorities are actively reviewing properties in Spain owned through corporate structures, with most inspections taking place in the Balearic Islands, Malaga and Cadiz provinces. Various commentators are even describing this type of ownership as a ticking time bomb. My own recent experience with these types of structures is that in the main, they're now a disadvantage. For example, if a property is available for the shareholders' own use, and especially if they're resident in Spain and it's their main home, a corporate structure is actually very inefficient for Spanish tax purposes. And I'm going to just mention a few reasons why. Firstly, the shareholder must pay a market rent to the company through a commercial rental agreement based on its market value. And if the individual does not pay market value rent, the tax office can determine a deemed rent. The company has to pay Spanish corporation tax. Furthermore, any distributions of profits to the shareholder is liable to Spanish income tax at savings rates. Since the individual is resident in Spain, their entire wealth is subject to wealth tax, including their share in the property-owning company. And they will not benefit from the €300,000 main home allowance available normally to Spanish residents. When selling the property, the shareholder is not eligible for the main residence relief from capital gains tax, even if it is their main home. And finally, for succession tax purposes, the beneficiaries would not be entitled to the main home relief. So in summary, I recommend that anybody who is considering using such a structure thinks again, and anybody who already has such a structure seeks advice and carefully weighs up the pros and cons of retaining the company structure versus winding it up. As a rule of thumb, in general, our advice is that clients should own their property in their own names. And look, in general, my advice to any listeners that are thinking of buying or selling a property is to invest an hour or two of their time meeting with a local Blevins Franks partner to learn more about the implications and to ensure that they're taking advantage of all the available tax exemptions. There's no cost for an initial chat, and it might result in significant benefits for many years to come. Listeners can visit our website, blevinsfranks.com, where they can find the contact details of all of our local partners. If they prefer, they can also complete a contact form on our website, and a local Blevins Franks partner will be in touch as soon as possible to arrange the most appropriate next step.
Many thanks, Chris. I think we'll talk sometimes after the new year, I guess.
I think we will, Howard. And in the meantime, have a very happy Christmas and a prosperous new year.
Yes, we wish same goes, and to all our listeners as well. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a pleasure.